First, the late-night television talk show landscape is set to change in the coming months, and the changes come as the future of the late-night format is in question. Earlier this year, James Corden announced he'll be leaving the Late Late Show next spring. More recently, Trevor Noah said he's stepping away from The Daily Show in December. Last year, Conan O'Brien ended his 28-year run as a late-night host, and TBS got out of the talk show wars entirely with the cancellation of Full Frontal with Samantha Bee this summer. The changes come as traditional late-night talk show television ratings have been declining since the heydays of Jay Leno and David Letterman in the 1990s. As more and more viewers and video content switch to online streaming, it leaves an unclear future for late-night talk shows that once dominated American popular culture. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you watch late-night talk shows yourself in real time, or do you watch funny bits when they pop up on some form of social media or YouTube the next day? Were these kind of shows once part of your regular viewing at night, whether we're going back to Carson or Leno or Letterman or pick your era? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. John Copeland is a media reporter for the New York Times covering the TV industry. He's co-author of the book, It's Not TV, The Spectacular Rise, Revolution, and Future of HBO. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob, for having me on.
Before we get into some of the specific changes lately, can you talk about the big picture trends that led from, you know, the only game in town pretty much was talk shows at late night for a long time, and now not so much?
Yeah, you know, you did a great job summing up all these departures that are coming up. And this has happened in late night before. In 2014 and 2015, we saw Jay Leno, Dave Letterman, and Jon Stewart all depart at relatively, in a sort of truncated period of time. And at that point, 7 or 8 years ago, the entire television industry and news media was interested in on the short list. Who's going to replace these hosts? There's something different about these departures this time. When James Corden announced he was leaving, the president of CBS said, we're not going to stick with the same old host behind a desk format. We're going to think about something else. And Trevor Noah's replacement for The Daily Show, that might be a multi-host reformatted show as well. When you talk to producers in the late night field, they say that there's something different this time. And the something different, diminished ratings, less revenue. NBC is considered spinning off Seth Meyers' 12:30 show on NBC. They have considered spinning that off to MSNBC. So it's a pretty challenged genre. And I think it is fair to ask the question at this point, what is the future of the late night show?
Yeah, the content of late night shows doesn't necessarily fit well with streaming, right? The Game of Thrones, say you watch that when it first breaks or 2 days later or 2 years later, still the same show. That topical monologue at the beginning of a late night show doesn't make sense 2 days or 2 weeks later.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest challenge. As we've seen with both scripted entertainment and even unscripted entertainment, it has made the transition from network television, cable television to streaming very, very nicely. Late night shows depend on topicality. They depend on what people are talking about that day, or at least within the last few days. And that is not how people experience streaming entertainment. Netflix was really, they really made a hard effort to make a talk show work 5, 6 years ago. They gave a talk show to Chelsea Handler. They gave one to Joel McHale. They gave one to Hasan Minhaj. None of them worked, and all of them were canceled. Hulu, similarly, they gave a show to Sarah Silverman. That was canceled after only a handful of episodes. Apple TV Plus, they just gave a show to Jon Stewart. The second season recently began, but the first season really had a tough time garnering significant attention. So late night, as we know it, going back to the Johnny Carson days, and then evolved by David Letterman, and then spun forward by Conan O'Brien and Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert, that show where you have a host who does a monologue, sits behind the desk, does a funny sketch, does a celebrity interview, that just does not work on streaming.
Before he announced he was leaving The Daily Show, Trevor Noah was asked by an audience member what he thought the future of late-night comedy would look like. Here's what he said.
Content is evergreen, right? There will always be content. I think when we consume content, will change. Like, some people go, this is a late-night show. Some people don't think of it as a late-night. They just go, it's a show. Then some people don't even think of it as a TV show. They go, like, I love your show on YouTube. I love your show on TikTok. I love you on Snapchat. I love you on Facebook. I love, like, there's some people who go, if I go, like, I have a TV show, they're like, what TV? Where? And they have no clue at all. My brother taught me this, my younger brother. He doesn't watch TV at all, but he's seen everything that's on TV.
Do you see that changing the content, John, where, okay, as opposed to doing something that's going to work in my live broadcast, I'm going to do something that's going to work for people to click on YouTube or Instagram or whatever?
Yeah, I think we saw that change when Jimmy Fallon took the reins of The Tonight Show in 2014. He really was creating content for it to go viral on YouTube. James Corden as well. That's where Carpool Karaoke began and became a huge hit. It became a huge hit on YouTube and not necessarily on CBS. The difference between now and then is the ratings have fallen even farther from where they were 8 years ago. And most significantly, the revenue has diminished. Most producers I talk to believe the genre will continue in some way in 5 or 10 years. It's just going to look radically different than it does today, mostly because we have to figure out, how does this work on the internet? How does this work digitally?
We're talking with New York Times media reporter John Coblin about changes in late-night talk shows and where they could go from here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What role do you think the late-night talk show plays in American culture, or played, past tense, in American culture? Is there one you still watch live, or do you catch up the next day on? Fill in the blank there. Did you used to consistently watch one of the late night talk show hosts? Who was your favorite from the days of yore, whether that was 3 years ago or 30 years ago? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with, here's John Coblin, media reporter for The New York Times, who covers the television industry. With us today, looking at changes coming to late night TV talk shows and the challenges those programs face in the streaming age. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think the future holds for late night talk shows? What question you have about the changes that have been happening that may be coming in the future? Do you care who replaces James Corden on The Late Late Show, Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, or if those shows go away altogether? Was there a show in the past that, yeah, you really watched that all the time? What changed for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller. Mike is with us in Waukesha. Mike, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Mike?
So it was interesting. I'm just driving on my way here in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I got to go pay a bill. But we were talking about why the late night people like Trevor Noah and why these shows are, let's say, being off the air, canceled, what have you. I have a suspicion that it's content as it relates to what people are calling the woke agenda and the woke mentality, in which late night used to be entertaining. It used to be funny. It even provided a little bit of variety. If you ask me, you know, the days of Carson, even Letterman, Leno. But what you didn't see the political push, it seems. And there's a saying out there, it says, get woke, go broke. While other people on YouTube and on internet are doing quite well, the Rogans, the Tim Pools, Jordan Peterson, Russell Brand, they're growing. They're huge. So I don't necessarily think it's technology somewhat. I just think it's content, really.
Mike, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. We had another caller who was also worried about politics on these shows, liberal politics, they said, sneaking in. What do you think, John?
I mean, it cannot be discounted. Obviously, it's a factor. You know, ever since, much the way America has gone, late night television is gone. Once things started getting more divisive, and particularly when Donald Trump entered the fray in 2015 and then won the election in 2016, we've seen many of the late night hosts take on a more political bent to their shows, particularly Stephen Colbert, who's the most watched host in late night. His show has become a very political show. That it cannot be discounted. It absolutely has to be considered a factor if you are turning off potentially half the audience. However, we also cannot discount the technological, the seismic technological shift. I mean, Rob, I was smiling when you came back from break and you're playing the Tonight Show theme. You know, that when the Tonight Show was on, when Johnny Carson was hosting it, when Jay Leno hosted it, you had America watching NBC from 8 to 11 p.m., watching their local news at 11, and then they just transitioned right into Johnny at 11:30. You had millions of people doing that every night. Those habits are broken permanently. You do not have even close to the same number of viewers watching NBC or CBS or ABC between 8 and 10, 11, between 8 and 11 p.m. And if you have fewer people to begin with, you have fewer people sticking around for 11:30 and 12:30.
Is there, do you see any way to bring back that kind of common language again, where people are saying, hey, did you see who was on Carson last night or something like that? Or is that something we just can't go back to, given all the variety out there?
I think it's extremely possible. And many of the late night producers and former producers who I spoke to are optimistic that something could work. One producer posited an interesting solution to me. Now, Thursday Night Football is on the Amazon streaming service. You have 10, 11, 12 million people who are watching it on Amazon every week. When that ends, is there some sort of show that Amazon could put on, a topical live show afterwards, where people stick around for another hour? Is it going to look like the traditional late night show? No, but could you bring elements of the genre into something like that for sort of this big event programming, especially as it slowly makes its transition to streaming? That is a compelling theory, and it could work.
Now, with the couple changes we mentioned, Trevor Noah and James Corden, each on their shows for about 7 years before announcing their departures, here's a Corden talking to the entertainment news program Extra about the length of his stay on the show.
By the time we finish, I'll have done pretty much like 1,400 episodes. That's a lot. And I know that in America, these jobs are positions that people take for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. It was never, ever going to be that for me.
Yeah, who'd want to host the same talk show for more than 7 years? I don't know about that. But this idea, I mean, it used to be like, you know, you're the Pope almost. This is a lifetime appointment once you landed that late night gig. And now it seems like, I don't know, a lot of the hosts have other things they could do out there.
Yeah, that's another big part of this. As we've learned with both the Corden and Trevor Noah departures, they don't see it as a lifetime appointment and they don't want a lifetime appointment. Trevor Noah, when he broke the news to viewers that he was leaving The Daily Show, he had told very few people that he was doing that. Much of his staff didn't know, and more significantly, his bosses didn't know. He completely blindsided them, and I think it was because he just wanted to get it out of the way, announce his departure on his terms so he could leave within a couple months, and he will be gone by December. Yeah, I mean, it's a grind. These are very hard jobs, and these hosts have a lot more options now. Take Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien had been in late night for nearly three decades. His show on TBS, they reformatted it within the last 2 years of its life, reducing it to a half hour and focusing on one guest for an interview. It didn't work. The ratings were really, really, really low for that show. But guess what happened? Conan O'Brien had a side project going. He had a podcast, a long-form interview program, interviewing other celebrities or journalists or interesting people. That is a huge hit. It's a huge hit. And Conan O'Brien just sold his podcast network to SiriusXM. So it really was a matter of genre, where Conan O'Brien was doing it. Late night wasn't working, but podcast does.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Paul is with us in San Jose, Costa Rica. Paul, hi.
Hello, hello. Greeting.
What did you want to bring up, Paul?
Frequent listener from abroad. I've lived abroad for decades. I always watch the shows you're talking about. I watch them online. Thank God that they're streamed so I can see them, because I wouldn't have access to them otherwise. So I think a lot of us watch those shows, whether it's the entire show of Colbert or Trevor Noah, or we're just clicking on the interviews and pieces that we want to see, and I would be really upset to lose them, much less I don't agree that it's about woke content at all. I think they're always topical and they keep me abreast of what's going on, and I enjoy the humor, and it's part of my day to always check in with them.
And Paul, I got to ask, you mentioned sometimes you just click on interviews. Do you ever watch, you know, in real time live when those shows are broadcast?
I never do. I don't know that I ever have.
Gotcha. Paul, thanks a lot for sharing that. Interesting perspective there, John, on how he uses that.
Completely. I, you know what? He is like a lot of people out there. There are thousands and millions of people who are going to go ahead and click on a YouTube of what was Colbert's monologue last night. Oh, I heard Jimmy Fallon had Olivia Wilde on his show last night. I will watch that. And this worked for a while because there were enough viewers coming into the broadcast network where the network executives were happy. They were making plenty of money. And sure, let it be a hit on YouTube. The problem is simply the economics. You're making pennies on the dollar with those YouTube clicks. They just, if the viewers are not tuning in at high numbers into the network, the YouTube stuff just doesn't make economic sense. And these media companies have done a better job at moving a lot of this content to their own proprietary streaming services. But again, you know, how many subscribers are you going to get because you want to watch Stephen Colbert, you watch Jimmy Fallon? It may not be enough to justify the expenses of these shows. And these shows cost a lot of money. They could cost anywhere on a yearly basis between $60 and $100 million to produce.
Let's bring on another caller now. Richard is with us in Two Rivers. Richard, hi.
Yeah, hi.
What did you want to bring up, Richard?
I want to bring up the fact that, I'm talking to some other people right now.
Oh, okay. I'll let you go then, Richard. Let's go to Charles in Merrill. Charles, hi.
Hi there. I was wondering what your guest thought of John Oliver's show. I don't know if he'd consider it a late night show or not, but he has, you know, kind of exactly what the last caller was talking about, lots of topical, societal and political, you know, topics on videos on YouTube that are fantastic. I think he's on HBO, and we've considered getting HBO because we love his show so much.
Interesting, Charles. You've written a bit, I think, John, about HBO. Thoughts on John Oliver and if he would actually be, you know, getting people to subscribe?
It's such a great question, Charles. I would say John Oliver is kind of the exception to the rule here, but he does something different, right? He's a weekly show, and he's not on 52 weeks a year. It's less than that, but it's a weekly show. It's a 30-minute show, and he usually does a little, you know, song and dance. He does, like, you know, does some comedy bits at the top, but it's usually a single topic. And it's kind of a journalistic show, too. But for the purposes of the genre, I do think it counts as a late-night show. In fact, it has won the Best Variety Talk Show Emmy Award, I believe, 7 years in a row, beating Colbert, beating Kimmel, beating Seth Meyers, year in and year out. I think one of the things that benefited John Oliver is his show started before the streaming era really began to dominate entertainment. It started as an HBO proper show. So I think he has successfully made the transition to the other side, where plenty of people are watching him on HBO Max, even if not as many people are watching him on HBO, the cable network. But John Oliver is an example of a success story here.
And speaking of shows that, like, do they fit the genre? People have pointed toward Greg Gutfeld on Fox News. So it's a more conservative leaning sort of talk show on a network where people, you know, the built-in audience would match up well with that. Where does that fit into this discussion?
It's a late night political and comedy show, and it is definitely worked. I mean, you know, Fox has, it's an 11 p.m. show. Fox has done a number of experiments at 11 p.m., and this is the one that's taken hold. Many network executives sort of bristle at the comparison that Gutfeld is the same genre as what they're doing. And notably, they will point out that he is live at 8 p.m. on the West Coast. So he gets the Goose's numbers even more. And also Fox viewers are very loyal to their network. They will stay from afternoon until night. So there is a smooth transition from Tucker to Laura Ingraham to Hannity to Gutfeld.
Now, bringing things around, you recently co-wrote a piece headlined, "Is There a Future for Late Night Talk Shows?" What are you watching for in the future? Is there going to be a late night talk show, or are we going to translate this all into, I don't know, YouTube and podcast video series? What are you watching for in the future?
In the short term, let's see who replaces Trevor Noah. Let's see who replaces James Corden. I suspect both Comedy Central and CBS are going to try to shake up the format. Not many networks have tried to shake up the format. So let's see if those efforts are successful. I have a careful eye on Stephen Colbert's contract is up next year. Does he re-sign? If he re-signs, is it a short 1 or 2 year deal, or is it a 3-4 year deal? The Tonight Show, NBC is considering giving up its 10 p.m. primetime hour and giving it to local affiliates. Does the Tonight Show move up to 10:30 or 11 p.m. if so? And does that work? Do more viewers come in to watch it? And similarly, what happens to Seth Meyers at 12:30? It's a popular show. It's a niche show, but it always gets critical recognition. Does that continue to run at 12:30, or do NBC executives decide to put it on their streaming service or on their cable news network?
And finally, John, if I'm watching TV after 10 o'clock, it's either I'm still watching a live sporting event or I'm pulling up something to stream, probably, a TV show of some sort, fictionalized TV show. Are people like me killing this late night talk show format?
Luckily, you're not alone, so we don't have to single you out, Rob. Yes, we are collectively really getting it closer to life support because we're just not watching the way we did 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
John, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
John Coblin is a media reporter for the New York Times covering the television industry. He was with us today looking at the present and future of late night television talk shows in the streaming age. Still time for you to share your thoughts, maybe your all-time favorite. If you had one you watched reliably every night, if you could, let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.